Welcome to yet another episode on our podcast, Cricket Unplugged. I have with me Raghav, and as it has been since the past few episodes, we have been discussing something intricate about cricket. So today also, we have chosen a topic which is a little bit specific. Best bowling and batting performances in World Cups. I'm sure, Raghav, you will have a lot of such innings to remember pretty fondly, won't you?
Yes, I do. So it's a special occasion, the World Cup. And definitely there are many spells and performance, batting performances.
Yes. So for the uninitiated, so the World Cup first started, the men's World Cup rather, first started in 1975 as the Prudential Cup in Lords. So I say the men's World Cup because the women's World Cup was conducted first. That happened a couple of years before that. So the men's World Cup was won by West Indies for the first two times. Of course, they were the best team during that time, and they themselves had a champion team which consisted of many champion performances. So one great performance which comes to my mind is Jarl Garner's 5 for 38 which he took in the 1979 World Cup final. So that is probably one of the greatest bowling performances in a World Cup final, and the English batsmen never said that they have never seen such towering bowling being done in an owned international at large. So that goes to say something about that. If you talk about other performances, we have Wasim Akram's fantastic performance again in the World Cup final of 1992, where he just swung it back into the bewildered English batsman. And you have Shane Warne in 99, who just sprung a surprise, you know, around the Pakistani batsman. He bowled a superb spell which literally won the game then and there itself for Australia. If you move away from the knockout matches, there have been some gem of performances by many people. For example, Kapil Dev's 5 for 43 against Australia in the 83 World Cup is a spell which many people have forgotten of. Madan Lal took a 4 for 20 against Australia too in a match we won. That was an amazing performance. If you talk about the performances in this century, two performances come to the top of my mind. Three rather. One is Andy Bickle's 7 for against England, which he took in 2003. Shane Bond taking 6 for 23 against Australia again in the 2003 World Cup, and who can forget our own Ashish Nehra taking another 6 for against England again in the 2003 World Cup. So there have been many performances of class, of caliber. Raghav, why don't you just pick probably, you know, a few ones amongst these and just tell us what you feel about these spells in detail, what has gone through them, why do you think they are special? Of course, World Cup being a special occasion, what do you think that has made these spells even more special with regards to those situations?
Yeah, so for me personally, as you said, so on a personal front, the game or the perception of Shane Warne, because of when I saw the 1999 World Cup final, changed completely post that, because I was like a very young kid, so I had of course seen the ball of the century, but I was too young to understand its magnitude at that point, to be frank. So the 1999 World Cup was pretty special. It's actually not remembered that fondly in India because India got knocked out early, but the quality of cricket and the semi-final, which is considered the best ODI match till date, So,
yes.
and where the iconic comment of Steve Waugh saying, you drop the cup, son, to Russell Gibbs. So those kind of images pop up in my mind when I think of the World Cup. But then, because I have always heard of my elders and my cousins talk about how big the 1983 World Cup was for them growing up as youngsters in India. So the World Cup meant something big. So it's not any other tournament. So that was my perception. And as I was watching 1999 World Cup as a young kid, when I saw the spell of Shane Warne, especially in the final, it looked like he was playing a club game or something almost. He just ran through the Pakistan batting lineup, which had Saeed Anwar, Inzamam Ulhaq, Salim Malik, and I think Afridi. And
iconic.
Yeah. So there was some really good players of spin there. So why I mentioned the names was not because of the overall quality there, but they could have probably played out one. But if people go back to that spell, he actually decimated them. So that was my fanboy moment kind of thing. After that, I never looked back. He's the best bowler I have seen. Best spinner, I couldn't say. Best bowler, maybe not. But best spinner till date, I have seen. So that's why that is extremely special. But apart from that, the World Cup, which I have fondly and I almost remember game by game, would be the 2003 World Cup. It's possibly among the best World Cups in the last 20-25 years. For the way it was marketed, presented, and the graphics and everything. So, atmosphere. And then there was a couple of spells from that tournament which you had brought up in the introduction to this podcast. Which comes to the main. One is Ashish Nehra. So, he got 6 for 21 in Durban. So, the spell itself had its ups and downs. And India were not in a great position. I think they made around 240s, if I'm not wrong. So they're not defending a huge score. And it was good conditions, but he was not extremely successful in his first spell. So in second spell was where he wreaked havoc. And then he got 3 wickets in 2 overs, and then he came back and he finished off the tail. But more than the significance of the spell, it's what it did to the Indian team's morale and their self-confidence. This is why I would rank it almost as high as the Shane Warne spell in my personal, because Sourav Ganguly's men were extremely confident bunch of people. So Indians started to believe that they could win the World Cup once this spell happened, 6 for 21. And if you go slightly back to what happened before the game, actually, Ashish Nehra had a swollen ankle. And Ganguly, apparently, Sourav Ganguly, the captain at that time, he told you, I don't think you are fit enough to play the game. So Ashish Nehra is like, if I play this game and if I can't walk or if I can't play the sport after this game, I'll take it, but I want to play this game. Because the pitch, Durban, is known to be very good for swing bowlers. So he himself said, I can create an impact. I will create the impact and I will ensure that I win the match for you. So that's what Ganguly had said in one of the chat shows. So, which I saw. So overall, if you look at the World Cup for India after a game in England, they looked pretty bad against Australia in the first game, and they had a close shave against Holland. So things were like, people had the doubts, can this team go far? But post the spell from Nehra ji, as he is fondly called, things changed. The confidence went up by a notch, much higher than what it was earlier. So that is why that spell remains very special for me. And the second one would be Andy Bickle's spell, because and his overall performance, actually, because Australia were crumbling. So in the bowling perspective, it was a green term. So I wouldn't rate the spell from a skill perspective extremely highly. Nor it's a very good spell of bowling, but it was a very conducive pitch for his brand of bowling. So he is more of your Bhuvneshwar Kumar type bowlers, mainly swing, hit the seam kind of bowler. So he, to his credit, used it perfectly. But what makes it special for me is the way in which Australia were reeling, chasing 220, I think. They were like 100 for 6. Or 100 for 8, I think, not even 100 for 6. And Andy Biggles single-handedly with, I think, Michael Bevan, or I don't remember the other architect, single-handedly pulled off the win. So I don't think that team, that Australian team, didn't need any flip or any boost to show what there. But I think the closest they came to losing a World Cup match was that game against England. And the game before that against Pakistan, where Pakistan again dropped Simons 3 times and Simons went on to taunt them for 145. So they almost reached the brink of defeat only for Bickle to pull them out. So it remains special because of the overall package. And the spell itself is very nice to watch when you re-watch it in a YouTube. The ground and the English batsmen, some of them looked really out of place. So as an Australian fan, that was real sweet, we can say, to see them crumble like that. So that remains, these three spells will remain high up there. In recent times, I think what comes to my mind would be just for the impact it had, Mitchell Starc's 5-for in the World Cup final in 2015. So the way he was, there's a touted to be a very close final because New Zealand were not too far behind Australia in terms of skill, 2015. If you look at Australian teams till 2007, there's no contest kind of thing. So if Australia are playing, it's like almost assumed that they'll win because they had such a team. But 2015, there are some experts like even Ian Sapple said, although they're playing at home, I don't think this Australian team can win the cup. So there are people who have doubted their worth, if I had to call it. So it was a big moment. So when you have such a final in the iconic MCG, packed to the rafters, 80,000 plus people, and Mitchell Starc comes and he just blows away New Zealand. And if I'm not wrong, he got McCullum out in the second ball of the game. So that's almost equivalent to Sachin dismissal in the 2003 World Cup final where McGrath got him out for 5. So it just took away. It's like the balloon diffused or something. So after that, New Zealand were nowhere and the match was a very one-sided affair. Of course, match won't be remembered much, but just for the decimation he caused Mitchell Starc, and even I would say to an extent, not as much, but I would just put in one more final spell, or I would say 3 overs of pain which Matt Hendry caused in the 2019 World Cup. So the way he removed Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, and I think KL Rahul in his first spell. So that literally broke a billion plus hearts, I would say. So me being an Australian fan, my cup was over the day before this game started anyway. When Jason Roy decided to show that, okay, let's finish the semi-final fast and focus on the final. So the way he went about mauling Australia, it was not a pleasing sight, to be frank. So I was looking forward to at least India making to the finals. If not Australia on a personal basis, but it was bound to happen at some time because India had such a fairy tale run. But I never expected Matt Hendry to do it. If Trent Bolt had done it, I may have accepted it. But of course, I'm not the one who, there are many people on Twitter who still lament how the semifinal went. But I would say it was some quality balls which Matt Hendry delivered. So you had to give it to him. I mean, in the semifinal of a World Cup, he produced the spell of his life, I guess. So this is, again, from a clearly a impact point, if it is really disheartening to see, and for people who are fans of MS Dhoni, probably the last time they might see him in an Indian shirt. So it's a lot of pain which still lingers on from that game. But that spell of bowling, you just look at it from a bowling perspective, was really good. The way he built up Rohit Sharma's wicket, the way he built up Kohli's wicket, it was not just a false shot. He built it up with three in singles, then he bowled the one which swung away and Kohli went after it. So if you look at from a very poetic perspective, it was really good. So these are the spells in my stint with World Cups as a follower, as an analyst, which clearly stays in my mind and will hopefully continue to stay even down.
Absolutely. Rakab, although you seem to have covered most of the points when we are talking about bowling spells, I don't think we can finish that off without mentioning Lasith Malinga, because in all of three World Cups which he played, he played four World Cups, but in 2007, that brilliant spell against South Africa, four wickets and four balls, who can forget that? And then 2011, of course, it was held in the subcontinent. He was one of the main factors for Sri Lanka reaching the final. In fact, he gave India a superb scare when he took Sehwag and Tendulkar. Right. And also in his waning days, the biggest upset of the tournament, probably you can say, is that Sri Lanka defeating England in one of the group matches.
Yes.
And that was orchestrated again by Lasith Malinga. So he has been an old war horse for the Sri Lankans. What do you think about him? I mean, Rakab, so he has been toiling around, probably an unsung hero, maybe?
True. Yeah, very much so. Unsung hero, because many people tend to associate Malinga just with T20 glory.
Yes.
So he has got Sri Lanka the T20 cup as well, plus he has achieved most of his success playing for Mumbai Indians. So that's a thing as well. But he has been actually true. If you look at the record-breaking spells or stats from a World Cup perspective, Malinga would be there. I think three or four of them. So I think it's very good you brought up his name, because it completely slipped my mind, to be frank. So I never thought that Malinga would feature in the best bowling spells from World Cups, when, as you perfectly put it, 2007, he got four wickets in four balls. So that's something which I think no one has replicated post that, at least in World Cups. So he's actually a record breaker of sorts, and unsung hero, of course. So yeah, that's it, Malinga.
Absolutely. Rakab, you have pretty much summed it up in a way. So, moving away from the bowling spells, what do you think about the batting? So, we have had some fantastic batting performances also in World Cup. One, a few of which comes to my mind is definitely Kapil Dev's 175 not out. You know, he came in that, I think, 9 for 3 the score was. And then India slammed out 17 for 5. And then he took India to a fantastic score. I think it's still the highest percent of runs scored by an individual batsman in the finished innings for India. That was an amazing innings. Another one which comes to my mind is Ganguly's 183 against Sri Lanka. That was an amazing innings. Nobody can forget how the punt planted us in the 2003 final. So did Gilchrist in the 2007 World Cup final. I personally believe that Yuvraj's innings in the 2011 World Cup quarter final against Australia was an amazing innings. It was the first time, you know, Australia was eliminated out of the World Cup. Oscar, I think three or four editions, I think from
yes.
1987
onwards.
Yeah, and that's an amazing achievement. There have been a lot of innings. Raghav, which two innings, if I may ask, pop up in front of your mind, which do you want to go into detail about?
So there are two. One of them, we all remember 2003 World Cup final for what Punter did to India.
Mm-hmm.
But then fast forward to 2011, when Australia lost all of its aura. The big players are not there. There are no Hayden, there are no Simons. And he had a very young... There were the Brett Lees, the Mike Hussies, but overall Australia was not considered to be favourites in a World Cup in 24 years, since 1987.
Yes.
So
yes.
Coming into such a World Cup, you have Ricky Ponting's ability as a captain and as a batsman question. And he had a fairly reasonable knockout stage. But continue to be a Australia fan for the way Ricky Ponting led that team. So many people say he had a silver platter. He's not a great captain. But I think you need to have skill to manage a team which has people like a test team. For example, which has Justin Langer as opener and McGrath at 9 down. All the players from 1 to 11 are match winners in their own right. So you need to have the skill and tenacity, the ability to manage such a team. So it is something which I personally also kind of go and use it to Dhoni to extend, because he has a team. It's only about executing it. Means so it's some art which goes unnoticed. When I can say it, I'd be a little too harsh on Dhoni. But so that quarterfinals in Motera Stadium in Ahmedabad, that 100, I have never seen Ricky Ponting more determined to prove the world wrong in my life. I've seen him being shunned. I've been, and people in India they despise him almost because of his arrogance. And what a irony that your captain now happened to be one of the most arrogant Indian players to play the game. Kohli has toned down, but he reminds me of Ponting. So that's why I fondly follow, and I'm really happy and extremely thrilled to see India's growth now under Kohli, because he resembles Ponting to me. The way he feels, the way he bats, the way he leads a star-studded team and still continues to excel at his game as well. So, same thing. So, the odds were completely against Australia. They had lots to lose, actually. Because as you very well put, Yuvraj Singh ended Australia's reign as the World Cup maestros in the same game. But Ricky Ponting's knock, I remember a lot of balls which he missed, a lot of play and misses, few close saves when it came to LBW. He didn't look at his prime, to be frank. But that's that tenacity to show to the world that, yes, I may be in my late 30s. Yes, my team is not the strongest as it was earlier. Yes, people can question Australia now that our team is not as great as the 2003 or 2007 teams. So single-handedly he pulled off what could have been a 230. He pushed it to 263. So it is among the best knocks I have seen played by a captain, not just from a player's point of view. So he did an amazing knock, and it's the only time from a trivia perspective which the only reverse sweep he has played in his career came in his final knock in a World Cup against Ashwin. So the first time, I only first and last time. So
and he was dismissed in that shot, if I was not wrong.
Yes, yes. Trying to, I think reverse sweep is old bunny, Bhaji. So he tried to reverse sweep Bhaji and he was caught at point. But that is the, I would say from what I've seen, the best batting performance in the World Cup I have seen is that. I would rate it any day higher than 2003. Although even the 2003 World Cup final madness which ensued with him and Martin, that was carnage of a different level altogether. But if you look at the impact, again, I keep going back to the word impact, because you need to look at what it did and what this situation demanded. So that's where I personally see the stars from just that's where in one of our earlier podcasts I mentioned a controversial statement by saying I rate BVS Lakshman higher than Sachin Tendulkar as a test match batsman. So it's the impact the player has made on the teams. So that Ponting knock, and I would say, if I had to put, probably again from the way it again goes back to Australia. So the semi final in 2019 World Cup, Jason Roy's 80 odd. So it may not be the most eye pleasing kind of knock, but Australia going right through the World Cup, where again, for some reason, because Steve Smith and Warner had come back from their ban, the team before the World Cup, they started to win something. But 2018, Australia actually lost 13 or 12 matches on a trot. And the world had a field day mocking them. So it was not too very surprising for me to see that, because they're losing series, they're getting whitewashed. They got trounced in England, actually. They didn't lose to England. So England trounced them. So those were the build-up to the 2019 World Cup from an Australian point of view. And then they put up one performance against another. Even the group stage game where Australia demolished England. I really remember messaging you that I remember this, like, 2003 World Cup team of Australia, the way they went single-handedly, they had a strategy for each batsman and they worked against them, and it was an immaculate performance. So coming from such a thing to probably underperforming with the bat, both Warner and Smith didn't score big. So they got only about 230. But considering the fact that England have never reached or haven't tasted World Cup success, and they're playing at home, I felt the 220 would look like a 280 or something to them from a pressure perspective. But from ball one, I remember the ball as well. Mitchell Starc full, slightly full, and then Jason Roy in his typical brute fashion, he just thumps him down the ground for four. So Jason Roy set the tone by saying 220 is 220. You're not. I don't want to waste time. It was equivalent of what Ricky Ponting did to Indian fans, if you had to put it that way. That's what Jason Roy did to an Australian fan like me. So I was literally almost, what do you call, sinking in my sofa chair. I was like, why should he put out such a performance in a semi-final against Australia? Like, can't he find any other game? So I was trying to, but it's amazing knock, fantastic player, no doubt. I'm a big fan of Roy's kind of batsmanship. He's not extremely technically sound as such, but he really can bat. So it was a fine, but yeah, there's a little tough, I say, tough pill to swallow. Like 2003, what Martin and Ponting did, still there is some Indian fan who would I think I would say largely put the fact why Indians hate Ponting so much. And I certainly think they should rate him as a player more now, at least. Now that he's not playing the game actively. Is the fact that he had that knock in the finals. Because of that, I think Indians are completely averse to Ponting, even a Martin. I'm surprised. Many people say, I hate Martin. Like, what's that hate in him? But anyway, so there is that kind of impact which people associate with World Cup knockout games. So it plays a large part in the psyche of a fan, I think, is what I feel. So what you do in such games completely overpowers what they have done in other games as well. So Roy has I think 200 or 300 in the World Cup, but I think he'll be talked about not for winning the World Cup, but for thrashing Australia in the semi-final. So that's how big it is for players and for fans as well. So I think those are two which come stand out for me. I think two knocks.
Wonderful doctor. Smart ones. I can't help but. See the similarity in the 2003 World Cup final and the 2019. But I would say that, you know, Ponting was a player of a different class altogether. You know, of course, he is just the greatest, one of the greatest batsmen of the game, hands down. There is absolutely no question to that. So I would say that India had a really, really inexperienced attack. I think it was Harbhajan, Zaheer and Nehra. I think it was just Javagan Srinath who had played more than 100 ODIs or something. Except that India had a very, very inexperienced bowling attack and they were up against Ponting and Martin. And, you know, when Ponting and Martin joined the crease, the Australia were, I think, already 100 or 120 for two. In inside 20 overs, Hayden and Gilchrist had already set the platform. So India were on the back foot straight away. And I think there is some dignity in being told that, yes, we were beaten by the greatest batsman in the world. But probably if you look at 2019, well, Australia had a pretty good attack. I think Stark, Hazelwood, they were good, and I think Jason Roy, well, he has a good chance of ending up as a great ODI player, limited overs player, but can't really say that he is going to be a great test player at the end of the day.
Not so. Sure.
Getting a battering from that sort of a player, will I will surely think that, you know, Australia would have. You know, really, they look back and blink their eyes twice or thrice, thinking, did this really happen to us in this stage? So, I think with due respect to Jason Roy, can't really compare him with Ricky Ponting, although the level of battering almost remains the same. When I see the score, Australia were... chased down in just 32 overs. I mean, yeah. That is enormous, enormous, amazing. Talking of great innings, one innings which I cannot leave out is definitely Richard's 138 not out. I think when we talk about you know, the great innings of all time, I think you do talk about Gilchrist 100 in the final, Ponting's 100 in the final. There have been a lot of innings also other than these knockout matches which were played wonderfully well. If you talk about World Cups and 100s, you can never leave out Tendulkar. So, but all of that started with this man, you know, scoring 100s at that rate really started with Viv Richards. And this was the 1979 World Cup final. The West Indies were defending champions. And England put the West Indies into bat. And really their bowlers vindicated their captain's decision, and the West Indies were in a spot of bother about 70 odd runs for the loss of four wickets. And that's when Viv Richards was joined by a cricketer called Collis King. Collis King is not known much except for his 86 of 66 balls in this World Cup final. So he just came and smacked around the bowlers, and Viv Richards, being the man he is, he actually dropped his anchor and let Collis King have his day. So Collis King was hitting so much so that when Viv Richards reached 90, Collis King was on 41. And when Collis King got dismissed for 86, Richards had still not scored his 100. So that's how rapidly Collis King was batting. And that was wonderfully how Richards was, you know, just farming the strike, giving the strike to that batsman. So his strike rate during that period was something around 60-70. He was just defending the odd ball and just running the singles and giving the strike to Collis King, because he knew that it was his day. And after Collis King got out, the West Indies scored another, added another 52 runs to the total, out of which 46 was added by Richards, and 5 runs in total was added by the rest of the bowlers. So you can imagine what carnage Viv Richards did in the last few of the innings. And nobody can forget the last, very last ball of the innings, in which Viv Richards just moves across his crease, you know, and he exposes the leg stump and he gets a full toss on middle and leg. And he just swats it over the fine leg for a huge six into the stand. So those are unforgettable memories, you know, of all time. I would certainly add Richard's 138 not out in the list of great innings.
Yeah, definitely. I've actually gone back and I think visited some of his knocks. And then it's a very, how do you say, it's unfair for people like us, I think, that we couldn't get to see him live. Like, it's almost it's a real sad thing, but he's something special, like very, very special, almost like we call E.V.S. Lakshman that year, but in India, but he did things which was like, so if you look at it, what I would say Kevin Peterson did in a 2006 when he did this wicket, people were praising him by saying he did something which is going to be path breaking, is going to change the face of batting, this, that. So that will be my personal memory of Sir Viv, because it changed the face of batting almost.
Because absolutely.
It was never meant to be this so flamboyant and so nice to watch. So all the batsmen we have read and seen in the 70s, 60s, 70s were more build your technique and build a knock kind of people. There's no things. And after Viv Richards, you have a flurry of players who are in that mold, but you will not be. So it's the same comparison. You can create an impact like a Jason Roy, but a Jason Roy can't be a Ponting. So same way here. Viv Richards will be a Viv Richards. There cannot be a match to his ability and that knock. And in the final, I would rate it higher than Gilchrist's knock, and maybe probably on par with Ponting's knock in 2003. Because I am, of course, being an Australian fan, I would rate Ponting's knock really high. So that is a sort of a biased opinion. But even from the shot making perspective and the pressure and the occasion, etc., if you look at all the factors, I think it should be a far comparison, where maybe Sir Viv can be compared to a Ponting, and I don't think he'll feel too bad either. Ponting is not that bad a batsman. So anyway.
So.